Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be here. I am Abby Terrace, and I am the spiritual leader of the Sangha Jewel Zen Center in Corvallis. We've been here for 28 years, but we've just recently moved into our own place. And before we moved into this place, we were called the Corvallis Zen Circle. So I am a transmitted teacher in the Soto Zen tradition, which probably doesn't have much meaning for you, but I'm just giving you my my vita. And I've been practicing in the Buddhist tradition for, 48 years or so. And actually, I see up above my friend Jill, with whom I traveled through China. We went on a Buddhist pilgrimage together, so for about 18 days, many years ago. And I wanted to talk today about compassion, which is kind of, I feel like I'm preaching to the converted. This center, I was looking at your mission, and it says, this is a radically inclusive, justice-driven community of faith, which says to me that you know all about compassion, and you know all about the essential teachings of compassion, which are based in the recognition that we are all one in this life, in this living system on the planet Earth, and that anything that happens to any one of us affects everyone. This is the basis of compassion. The other thing in Buddhist teachings that compassion draws up is the vow to open our own hearts, to stay open in our attitudes and beliefs and recognize them as such, that everything changes, including our minds can change about a lot of things. And so we make a vow, it's called the Bodhisattva vow. Have you heard that word, Bodhisattva? Bodhisattva is the form that Buddha takes in human form. Someone who is living a human life dedicated to helping others, and really is so thoroughly aware of how my life and your life evolve together. And so anything that I do, I maintain awareness of how it's going to affect you. The archetype in Buddhist cosmology for the Bodhisattva way is Avalokiteshvara, or that's the Tibetan name, and in China it's Kuan Yin, and in Japan it's Kanon Bodhisattva, the description of this being of compassion is one who hears the cries of the world. One who hears the cries of the world and responds. So when we think about compassion, it's really very often, it's been used so much that it's kind of lost its meaning. We often hear compassion and it just slides right through. But compassion is listening, looking, being willing to experience the suffering in the world as well as the joys, and being willing to respond, not in a way to make it go away so that we don't have to feel it, although that's certainly what we all want. We all want just happiness and the conditions for happiness, but that's not what we're given often. We have good days and bad days. We have blessed times and times of deeply troubling, deeply challenging. And the function of compassion is to stay open and cherish the difficulties as well as the blessings. Because the difficulties are what keep us honest, keep us humble, keep us paying attention, and open to the support of our community. Reaching out, knowing that I don't do this by myself. I don't heal by myself. I don't move mountains by myself. I don't celebrate by myself. So this thread of interconnection runs through compassion thoroughly. Compassion Compassion is also, in Buddhism we say, Buddhism is the way of wisdom and compassion. There's two separate words referring to slightly different aspects, but they are never separate. So you can be very, very savvy about some area of knowledge. But if your heart is closed, that does not benefit the one life. So really, when we're talking about compassion, we're saying, my first identity is as a spiritual being. Spiritual beings include absolutely everything, the blessings, the difficulties. And the bodhisattva vow, the vow to open our hearts, open our minds, is something that in Buddhism we take refuge in. We offer the bodhisattva way to the world and we take refuge in the bodhisattva heart. I'll give you an example. So I'm in the midst of selling my house and buying another house and moving. I've been living in my house for many years. I raised my kids there. It's beautiful. I've converted it piece by piece over the years to something that's very lovely to live in. And it also was the Zen center for many years before we got this new place together. So there is a lot of rich spirit in that little quarter acre or eighth of an acre or whatever it is. And so I was really deeply grieving when I first started. I mean, it got real. I went into this profound grief that just burst forth into tears when I would tell friends about it. And I was surprised. It took me by surprise because I've been planning on moving into a smaller, simpler situation for a long time. Now, some of you may identify with this. It's transition time. I was kind of critical of myself that, oh, come on, get over it. It's really time. This is a good thing. But I was thinking that, and it is a good thing. No doubt about it. It's really time. It's the wise move. It is a good thing in my mind. But my heart was clenched. And then I remembered my practice of opening my heart, and gave myself room to really sob, really grieve, really feel all that is moving. It's not just a house, it's a whole era in life that we all face if we are fortunate enough to live to be this age. I'm in my 70s. We're all facing this. Everyone faces this. Everyone in every religious tradition faces old age, loss, death. And this too is part of remembering the compassion for all beings. So anyway, I let myself feel that, and then I feel fine now. I'm joyful about the move. Once I really let myself turn directly to the thing that was so, so painful. But the obnoxious, harmful behaviors of so many people in the public sphere and the political arena and the media arena it's so much about something we all do, which is we try to turn away, we try to solve with our minds a spiritual issue. We're trying to drop out the spiritual element that is the most inclusive about our lives in how we go forward with policy and all of that. And we can't do that. You know, look at a world that has increasingly gone away from compassion-based, recognizing the interdependence of our life with all beings, not just human. Since my birth, since the birth of many of us here, 30% of the world's species have gone extinct. What do we think we're doing, living in the kind of civilization that's based on greed, acquisition, solutions to the human condition that are not spiritual? It's not that we don't all want a good, a comfortable home, of course. But animals don't foul their own nests. And we foul our own nests materially in the way that we exploit the resources of the world. And we are fouling our own nests by the way we're behaving in the public sphere. How do you feel when you've heard the news? I feel sick to my stomach most of the time. And so, getting back now to compassion, if we're going to go forward, if we're going to survive, we have to recognize that compassion is not just it's not a sentiment, it's a necessity. It's a complete necessity to draw on wisdom locally, because each of us work in just a small circle of our own associations and functioning. How do we bring compassion with great gusto into our local activities? And I think this church very much is dedicated to that in so many ways. So I congratulate you for the wisdom that you as a collective are operating with in the community. Building strong community is an expression of deep compassion, deep wisdom. And anything that causes, one of the precepts that I received when I took precepts in the Buddhist way was do nothing, and this is the statement that was developed by Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Vietnamese Zen master. He said, do nothing that causes the community to break. So that doesn't mean withholding critiques of things and concerns, but recognizing that while we work on and gain insight into problems, we maintain connection. We don't build walls in our hearts or on the earth. It does not solve, it deepens the difficulties. So in this way, compassion is a complete necessity. It's very practical. And I wanted to say, I know, I don't want to go on too long, but I've made notes about something having to do with how we raise our children. And, but it's so important to teach our children how to, the basics of compassion, which are the same as the basics of prayer, which is listening. Not asking for stuff, although, you know, I've been known to do that. but listening with an open heart and an open mind. And it's especially difficult. And so we teach children how to do that. And one way that we teach them is that's what we do with them. We listen to them, recognizing their full humanity from the time they can tell us about it. They are whole and complete. They love, they fear, and that we can help them learn how to listen to themselves and to their own experience, and how to recognize that other children also, other people also have those feelings. That's kind of the basis, isn't it? Of recognizing that there is no other in the inmost way as a human being. We all inhabit the same inmost places. So it's really important that we teach our children to listen, to care about, to feel responsible for our own actions, so that because everything that we do affects everybody else. So let's see. One other thing is, we have a phrase in Buddhism Zen practice helps us have a strong back and a soft front. A strong back is based in kind of the reality of things in all of their complexity. If I'm talking to somebody who I consider an enemy, you know, I'm really bristling at their opinions or the ways they express themselves, I must know that they have come to this place through suffering, and this is an expression of suffering. That helps me stay present, and actually that's what we call equanimity. staying present even when you're riled up, staying present and open. So that's the strong back of compassion. And then the soft front of compassion is open-hearted, friendly. The Buddha was called the friendly one. And it's true that after many years of Buddhist practice, I'm just so appreciate how much friendlier I'm free to be, as I don't try to protect myself from things, from my own internal experience, but really, you know, recognize that this too. So if we're going to, we call in Buddhism, we're always talking about Buddhist practice. It's ongoing. It's never ending. Just as our life is never ending, we're always practicing being whole, complete, in relationship, aware, responsive. So how do we practice? I got this thing off the internet. It says to get more compassionate, you get more compassionate the same way you get to Carnegie Hall. Practice, practice, practice. So that means that every time you forget and you come with harsh judgment or mean words, you start over. You do it again. You know, we always start over. We do that in relationships, especially our family relationships. As you have a bad day with each other, you start over. Clean slate. So forgiveness is a really important part of how we practice. Forgiving based on the fact that we all want to be happy. We want to get along. So we practice with all of the uncertainties of life with kindness, openness, enhancing cooperation, which is just kind of a light phrase that has profound meaning. I mean, if you think about all the opportunities you have day by day, or any opportunities you have to enhance cooperation, to enhance collaboration, means that people come through transaction, emerge from transactions feeling glad and met. We practice presence. We practice generosity. The Buddha said, there is no other practice beside generosity, the practice of generosity. So these are all inherent in compassion. Compassion's a hard thing to talk about because it includes everything. It is not a sentiment, it's a point of view. It's really an approach to everything. It's not a soft and sweet feeling, because sometimes it's not soft and sweet. Sometimes the boundaries are very compassionate to set. You know, you don't let somebody who's about to commit a crime commit the crime. That doesn't benefit anybody. That's not the compassionate, oh, anything goes. It's not soft. It's very structural. It's very strong-backed. So I hope I'm trying to stay within my time limit. What do you think? Because I was going to wrap it up now. Thank you so much for listening. It's such an honor to have been invited by Matthew to meet you, to come here and speak to you today. And I hope that it adds something to your own spiritual life, to work actively with compassion for yourself and all of your own difficult states, and compassion for all others, especially the ones who are really screwing up in the world. And that doesn't mean letting it all happen. It just means don't go out there and scream with hatred at demonstrations, but stand with dignity, with composure, and with the sureness of a loving heart. Thank you so much.